You're listening to an African Elements top news story for June 29, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why the disparate impact rollback harms Black corporate hiring. On June 9, 2026, the United States Department of Justice Office of Legal Counsel released a massive memorandum opinion. The memo declared that the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission guidelines on Title VII disparate impact liability are unconstitutional. This legal shift dismantles a long-standing tool that civil rights advocates use to challenge systemic racial bias in corporate hiring. Assistant Attorney General T. Elliot Geiser and Deputy Assistant Attorney General Joshua J. Craddock authored this historic opinion. They wrote it in response to a formal request from EEOC Chair Andrea Lucas. The decision represents the peak of a systematic effort by the second Trump administration to eliminate disparate impact across the federal government. The administration had previously laid the groundwork with Executive Order 14,281 in April 2025, which ordered agencies to eliminate disparate impact enforcement to the maximum extent possible. An Office of Legal Counsel memorandum is an internal advisory opinion from the Department of Justice. It has a unique legal status. It provides authoritative legal advice to the president and other executive branch agencies. Within the federal executive branch, these opinions are treated as completely binding. Because of this, executive branch officials must follow these interpretations to guide their operations. However, the authority of an OLC memorandum differs greatly from nationwide laws or binding judicial precedents. An OLC opinion does not carry the force of a nationwide law passed by Congress. It is also not binding on federal courts or private employers. Private plaintiffs can still bring lawsuits under existing statutory frameworks. They can bypass executive branch directives and file claims in federal courts. The Department of Justice argues that the historical framework functions as an unconstitutional mandate. Specifically, the Office of Legal Counsel labeled these guidelines a qualified racial proportionality mandate. This conservative legal term describes the pressure that federal enforcement puts on private businesses. Critics argue that holding employers liable for statistical imbalances coaxes companies into implementing unofficial racial quotas. By focusing solely on demographic outcomes, the traditional rules forced businesses to balance their workforces. Employers had to adjust their hiring standards to match local population demographics simply to avoid expensive lawsuits. Conservative legal scholars argue this framework operates as a racial thumb on the scales. This pressure ultimately compels companies to make race-conscious hiring decisions. Such race-conscious decision-making is the exact practice that federal civil rights laws were designed to prohibit. To understand disparate impact, one must examine the history of the Jim Crow South. During that era, Southern states systematically underfunded segregated Black schools. These schools operated with fewer resources, underpaid teachers, and significantly shorter school terms. This systemic educational neglect directly resulted in lower high school graduation rates and lower standardized test scores for Black residents. When Title VII was passed, companies could no longer practice overt segregation. Instead, many introduced written aptitude tests and high school diploma requirements. Seemingly neutral, these rules capitalized on pre-existing educational inequalities to lock Black workers out of jobs. In the historic 1971 case, Griggs v. Duke Power Company, the Supreme Court recognized that these credentials carried over historical disadvantages. This landmark decision officially established the legal doctrine of disparate impact. It ensured that the legal struggle for workplace equity would focus on real-world outcomes rather than just explicit motives. The ongoing rollback of civil rights rules rests heavily on the concept of a colorblind constitution. However, civil rights and social justice advocates argue that absolute colorblindness is highly contested and weaponized to preserve inequality. Critics contend that a colorblind approach intentionally ignores the ongoing reality of systemic racism. By ignoring historical disadvantages, this ideology locks existing racial disparities in place. Opponents point out that reactionary colorblindness historically served to co-opt the moral language of the civil rights movement. Opponents of integration used this concept to defeat policies designed to advance racial justice. Under an extreme colorblind framework, courts treat benign measures designed to help marginalized groups as legally equivalent to malicious segregation. The Supreme Court has increasingly embraced this view, notably when it struck down affirmative action in education in 2023. Enforcing absolute colorblindness forces the legal system to be intentionally blind to real-world racial inequality. The June 2026 Department of Justice decision draws its legal justification directly from a recent voting rights ruling. On April 29, 2026, the Supreme Court decided Louisiana v. Calais. In that 6-3 decision, the court struck down a Louisiana congressional map that contained two majority black districts. The court ruled that drawing district lines based on race to avoid Voting Rights Act liability was an unconstitutional racial gerrymander under the Equal Protection Clause. The Calais ruling established that effects-only liability under the Voting Rights Act is unconstitutional without a strong inference of intentional discrimination. The Office of Legal Counsel directly imported this logic into Title VII enforcement. The Department of Justice now argues that forcing employers to consider race to avoid statistical hiring disparities constitutes unconstitutional race-conscious decision-making. In both voting and employment, the administration rejects effects-based equality of outcomes. It asserts that the government cannot coerce actors to use race-conscious methods to achieve statistical proportionality. The new guidelines will practically impact modern black job seekers by making it much harder to challenge systemic hiring barriers. Under the new guidelines, common workplace selection procedures are now considered presumptively job-related. These procedures include criminal background checks, credit history reviews, knowledge-based aptitude tests, and automated screening tests. Consequently, employers are exempt from conducting expensive validation studies to justify these selection tools. This shift poses a major challenge. Modern barriers such as criminal background checks and credit history checks historically exclude black applicants at disproportionate rates due to disparities in over-policing and wealth. Furthermore, the rapid rise of automated decision-making and black box AI hiring algorithms introduces new forms of bias that screen out black applicants. These biases are nearly impossible to challenge when effects-only liability is rejected. Employers now only need to show a low bar defense that a hiring practice rationally serves a valid business purpose. This drastically lowers the legal standard required to defeat discrimination claims. Civil rights and social justice organizations strongly oppose the federal rollback of disparate impact standards. Organizations such as the NAACP, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, and the ACLU view these changes as a devastating blow to economic mobility and racial equity. They argue that dismantling the doctrine removes a vital enforcement tool. This tool was specifically designed to root out structural barriers and covert discrimination when explicit bias cannot be proven. Advocacy groups argue that disparate impact liability is crucial because it focuses on outcomes. This focus allows plaintiffs to counteract unconscious prejudices and disguised animus that escape easy classification. Civil rights leaders reject the administration's claim that disparate impact forces racial balancing. They state that the doctrine simply requires the removal of unjustifiable barriers to fair opportunity. In response to these changes, civil rights groups have actively pursued legal actions. For instance, the NAACP filed a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the EEOC on June 8, 2026, to investigate the dismantling of civil rights protections. Relying on state-level civil rights enforcement creates deep geographical inequality for black workers. In response to federal rollbacks, several progressive states have proactively codified disparate impact liability into state laws. States like California, New York, New Jersey, and Illinois have enacted local laws to maintain protections against discriminatory effects. However, most states lack independent civil rights laws or specific statutory provisions prohibiting disparate impact. This leaves workers in those regions with no state-level legal remedies. Black workers in southern states are left particularly exposed. Federal courts in regions like Louisiana have actively enjoined federal agencies from enforcing disparate impact regulations altogether. This geographic divide is further exacerbated because the federal EEOC under Republican leadership has withheld funding from state and local civil rights enforcement agencies that continue to pursue disparate impact claims. Consequently, this geographic division affects how workers seek opportunities and how early black entrepreneurs navigate local hiring rules across state lines. The administrative shift has drastically modified the workload of federal enforcement. Under the leadership of Chair Andrea Lucas, the EEOC still managed to secure $660 million for over 17,000 victims of employment discrimination in fiscal year 2025. Crucially, a record-breaking $528 million of this total was recovered through pre-litigation enforcement. The agency received 91,503 new charges of workplace discrimination in the same fiscal year. Despite this administrative activity, the formal OLC opinion solidifies the legal rollback within the executive branch. The final battleground will now shift to the federal court system. Since OLC opinions do not bind federal judges, courts must decide whether the core statutory protections of the Civil Rights Act of 1991 will survive. For now, Black workers must navigate a highly fragmented legal landscape where their workplace protections depend entirely on their geographic location. Copyright, African Elements.